completing the report. It's all done in pen and paper right now, and so there's no real good way of tracking what the conflicts of interest are and how they're being managed. And so number one, we've got to come into the 21st century on how this is managed, and then have very clearly articulated and enforced policies on conflicts of interest. So our committee was all in favor of this. We urged that it move ahead as expeditiously as the governance processes allow. At the very latest, she would expect to bring this back to the board in May so that there could be an implementation date next summer for all of the people who will fill out the forms for the next academic year. But if possible, that's going to happen on a more expedited schedule, we've been assured. So that's that. We then went into executive session. We discussed the initiation of a process for identifying and developing talent across the leadership spectrum of the university. We then came back into open session. We set a date for our next meeting, which will be on November 10th, and we adjourned. There is, however, one item on today's agenda for the board's consideration, and that is a revision to the ethics manual, which has been in place for, again, for a number of years. This is a recommendation you have to approve a handbook for good ethical practice at the University of Illinois. This is very, very similar to the existing handbook. Which has a slightly different title. It's Good Ethical Practice, a Handbook for Faculty and Staff at the University of Illinois. You'll all recall that last year at our first meeting, we heard from the University Ethics Officer, Donna McNeely. She gave us a report on the ethics policies at the university and the governance of that. We received that report. We've all received training under the Ethics Act, and it was really time for a refresh and a what will become the sixth edition of the handbook. So we reviewed that at the committee, endorsed the changes, and I guess that will be part of our agenda later on in the afternoon. I don't know that I'm supposed to call for a motion right now, so that we'll deal with that later, but our committee would recommend that we adopt the sixth edition. And that's all I have, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Pam. Appreciate it. Are there any questions for Pam? I think then at this point we'll probably go into executive session. There are some employment or appointment matters and purchase discussions regarding real estate that we need to discuss. If I could get a purchase or lease of real property for the use of the university. May I have a motion?
Dr. Cordes.
Okay, second. Thank you. So we'll do that. Do you guys want to take a 5-minute break? I think we're reassembling in another room, are we? What's that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I saw them nodding, Tom.
Where are we going?
They were agreeing. I felt a yes.
He was pointing at you.
Tim did. That we proceed. He had a couple of things he needed to take care of and didn't want to hold up the meeting, which I thought was a fine request. He'll be back, of course, before any votes are taken, and I think before we get into Walt Noor's presentation. With that said, Ed, maybe I'd ask you to lead us off.
Very good. Well, first I'd like to report on the Audit, Budget, Finance, and Facilities Committee, which met on September the 13th. Those present were myself, Trustee Strobel, who was on via teleconference, Trustee Oliver Montgomery, and Student Trustee Olivier. We approved the minutes of the last committee meeting, which was July 12th. We had five reports during the presentation, just to cover them briefly. First of all, Jackie Dipple from KPMG, who was a partner at KPMG, report on the scope of the university external audit for fiscal year 2010. Secondly, university auditor Julie Zimaitis reported on the fourth quarter internal audit activity, and Julie will also make a report for this meeting. Third, Vice President Knorr presented the fiscal 2011 operating budget and fiscal year 2012 operating and capital request, and we'll cover that in more detail in a presentation. Maureen Parks of University Administration Human Resources reported on the state pension plan for new employees and the alternatives available for new employees as of January 1, 2011. And then Larry Altenbauer made a presentation about the financial transactions involved in our energy commodity procurement process. There were eight items that we reviewed and recommended to be put forward to the full board. I won't go over them in detail, but item 11, which is obviously the operating budget for this year, item 13, which is the initial request for operating capital for 2012, the academic and administrative appointments for 2011, 10-11, item 14, which was Champaign-Urbana big broadband fiber optic infrastructure, item 16, which were the purchasing recommendations, item 2, which was a resolution concerning the goals for business enterprise, item 10, which is to clarify the dollar limits for purchases, leases, contracts, and other actions, and then finally item 9, for the use of financial transactions in support of energy commodity procurement. And those will be addressed in the various agenda votes. To begin the presentations that we're going to cover today, we're going to start, first of all, with a topic I'm sure everyone's interested in, and that's the state of the state's economy. Bill Rich, who is going to give us a presentation and update. Bob, I'm sorry, not Bill. Bob, where are you? Come on up and make your presentation.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for having us. In your packets, you'll have seen a packet by Jeff Hewings, who is the director of the Regional Economics Applications Laboratory that we gave to you for purposes of your background. And if you have questions about that later on, that'll be fine. The actual presentation for today is going to be given by David Merriman. David's our associate director and was the former chairman of the economics department at UIC. So David, please.
Thanks very much for having us here. And yeah, I want to talk about the state's current economy and some of its fiscal challenges, how that relates to its fiscal challenges, and also sort of where we're headed for the future. Oops. There we are. So there are many statistics you can use to sort of talk about the condition of the economy. Probably one of the best overall statistics is the unemployment rate. And what this chart does is it compares the unemployment rate in three recessions, the first one that started in July 1990, then March 2001, and the most recent one, which we learned just ended. And what the chart shows is what was the unemployment rate as we went into the recession, what happened during the recession, and then very importantly, what happened after the recession. So this line, this T, kind of centers all of them. That's when the recession started. And you can see that in all three recessions, we had a relatively low unemployment rate going into it. Perhaps it was rising a little bit or falling a little bit in the case of the 1990 recession. During the recession, and the recession for the first two recessions lasted only 8 months, the unemployment rate rose some. But then once the recession was over, it continued to stay high and stayed high for quite a long time. In the current recession, that's the middle one, we went in with a relatively low unemployment rate. The unemployment rate rose during the recession. The recession lasted 18 months, we just learned this week, to a very, very high level, more than 10%. The bad news is, judging by the past recessions, that unemployment rate is gonna stay high for quite a while. The last recessions, even 3 years after the recession started, you still had an unemployment rate that was much higher than you had when you went into the recession. So unfortunately, we're probably going to continue with quite a high unemployment rate. We shouldn't expect it to fall quickly based on past experience. There are a number of reasons for this I can talk about if you'd like. What's the relationship between